I'm not going to go through again that message I keep referring to, but which is the baptism. It's the first part. But in that message, one of the things that we said there was how, and this was sort of a take my word for it thing at the time, just because I told you I didn't have time to teach on it. But what we were basically saying was that when Jesus drew out the water and it became wine, we were already seeing how, you know, the being filled up with the water is baptism. And we were talking about that. But then what I was pointing out was the similarities between John 2 and John 4. Because John 4 says that you drink in water and then it will become a fountain springing up, right? You drink in water and it becomes a fountain springing up. And we are going over those two parts, right? We're talking about the drinking in of the water, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's when you got cleansed and saved and you were literally filled inside with the Holy Spirit. And then from then on, you see the manifestation of that, which is that springing up. And I showed you those same two parts in John 2. And John 2 was that he said, fill them up to the brim, which were the water pots, the stone water pots. They were filled up to the brim. He said, draw out now. And then they drew out and it became wine. Now, those two parts were seen pretty clearly there, where the draw out now, that's referring to obviously the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. But not to go too much more into that, because I don't want to rehash all that. The point is this, when you draw out the Holy Spirit, the Bible says it becomes wine. And I'm referring to John 2. It becomes wine when the Holy Spirit manifests. Now, what does that mean? This is going to be especially for those of us that have really heard that message, okay? So maybe you heard online or maybe you were here, but if you heard that message, this is going to be for you. Just to explain this a little bit further. The wine is something that we've already said this in the past, so I'm not going to go through these verses with you exactly, but if you read the last chapter of Proverbs, that's a big chapter that defines the term wine. And the word wine is something that is used to forget. So I'll kind of go through just several verses, just quoting them to you just very quickly. One is, like I said, the last chapter of Proverbs, which I believe is chapter 31. And he talks about King Lemuel. And he basically says that you can drink wine and forget. Drink wine and forget. So if you drink and forget, okay, that's really the context of what we're talking about here. If you drink wine, this says that wine makes you forget. Now, when you're defining a term in the Bible, you got to have a well-rounded proof for the definition. If you're really telling people this word means this, then, you know, have a well-rounded amount of proof to show people if you're going to tell people that wine means to forget, okay, or makes you forget. So I don't just have that one verse. There's also, wine can be a good thing or a bad thing. Just depends on what you're forgetting. So the Holy Spirit is a kind of wine to us because he does make us forget something. Now, there is a verse actually in the book of Genesis, and Joseph is the character toward the end of Genesis. And basically, he's not talking about wine in that case. But basically, he kind of says this, that the Lord has made him to forget his labor. Okay? Now, that's symbolic in and of itself. That's a whole symbolic process, the entire account. So I'm just kind of jumping in and, you know, extracting one little piece out of it. But Joseph says, the Lord has made me to forget my labor. Okay? When he had Ephraim and Manasseh, his sons, I forget which one. I believe it's Manasseh. He named Manasseh because of what it means. I'm blanking a little bit on the exact meaning, but I believe it has something to do with forgetting. And then he said he named him Manasseh because the Lord has made me to forget my toil, my labor. There's more to go in with that. But that is what the Lord makes you forget. All right. So let's say this. You know, the world can be a kind of wine because the world can, you know, makes people forget the truth. Okay, so that's why the Bible will say, don't be drunk with wine, and there's a bunch to go on with that. But so that's not a good reference to wine. Wine is just, like I said, anything or anybody that makes somebody forget. Okay, the wine is like the conduit through which somebody forgets something. Now, that's why the Holy Spirit's called wine, because the Lord makes us to forget, specifically, just like Joseph said, makes us forget our labor. And there are a few verses I can go into with this, to show you this, but Isaiah 32 was the main thing the Lord showed me, really showed me, and this is the problem with sharing something in 10 minutes, you know, because I have so much I can share about this, and I'm not going to be able to do this, but because I only got like a couple minutes left here, but Isaiah 32, though, is the main thing that the Lord showed me in reference to this, that if wine means to forget, and the Holy Spirit is wine to us, that means the Holy Spirit makes us forget something. So I kind of got that, right? So I understand that part. We went over some comparisons with that, that the Holy Spirit is compared to wine to us. When he manifests, he becomes wine to us. So he's making us forget something, right? Because that's the definition of wine. If the Holy Spirit were bread to you, that means he would be life to you. Wine to you means forget. So I was wondering about where is it in Scripture that the Bible really talks about what the Holy Spirit makes us forget. And again, Isaiah 32 is the main thing. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to read it to you right now, but let me just kind of paraphrase this. He talks to these people of Israel and basically says, and I'm just sharing this for everybody here, that the people of Israel at the time were not to rest, that they were to work. They were not to rest, but they were to work. And he said the reason why they had to work, because they were under the law, the reason why they had to work and they could not rest yet, he said, because the vintage hadn't come yet, the grape crop hadn't come yet. You could say, because grapes and wine are the same meaning in the Bible. So you could say that the wine hadn't come yet, which he's actually referring to the Holy Spirit there. And that's why later on, if you keep reading through, he says that then he would send the Holy Spirit in Isaiah 32 later on in the chapter. So just like I said, this is a real paraphrase for time's sake, but he's telling them, you can't rest yet because I hadn't sent the wine yet. And then he says, and you're going to work and you're going to, you know, be unfruitful in all of your work until the Holy Spirit is poured out from upon us from on high. So this vintage that he said was coming was fulfilled when the Holy Spirit came. And if you were to actually read the whole context of the chapter, you know that wine means forget. But in this chapter, what is he talking about forgetting? Well, think about it. He said, you have to work and you can't rest because the wine hasn't come yet. The wine, in other words, making them forget what? Their work, making them forget their toil, right? So that they could rest. So he said, you can't rest because the wine hasn't come. And that's where wine can also have the context of rest sometimes, because it does mean to forget. And think about this. If the Holy Spirit is wine to you, making you forget your labor, wine always means to forget. But in this case, because it's talking about forgetting your labor, it's in general speaking about rest. You kind of get that? So if somebody's wine to you and makes you forget your labor, that's why it can be used in the context of rest. Okay, so that is my very, very, very short explanation of what we went over in the first part. So this will be part 5, actually, of the series we've been doing. I think there's definitely more to be said.